You are listening to A Difference for One podcast, episode number 62. I'm Michelle.
I'm Nicole.
I'm Charisse.
And I'm Cami.
We are the English Sisters.
We come together to share life-changing methods of improvement through a variety of topics.
We hope that above all, these discussions will help you feel that Jesus Christ is making a difference for you, the one. And we also hope that our podcast will inspire you to find simple ways that you can make a difference for one. Hey guys, we have all four of us here together. We're going to be discussing a talk by Brad Wilcox that he gave at Brigham Young University in 2011. It's pretty popular and it's called His Grace is Sufficient. I decided that I wanted to talk about this topic because grace is sometimes something that can be a little bit confusing for me, and I'm sure it is for other people as well. Sometimes it's confusing to think about how much God's grace covers and how much is required or expected of us, and how specifically His grace can help us as individuals. One time when I was younger, probably around 10 years old, I was at an event where there were lots of people who were members of different faiths, and they were trying to talk to people at this event to try to persuade them in the way that they believed. And I was with my cousin, and a girl stopped us and asked us if we understood grace. And she was saying that grace means that God did everything necessary. He died for us already, and that there's nothing else that we need to do. I didn't really have the maturity to talk with her about that at that time. I didn't feel like what she was saying was completely accurate. It didn't sit well with me, even though I was so young. But I didn't want to argue, and I didn't feel like I really knew how to reply to her. But that incident has come back to my memory so many times, and I'm sure you guys do this too, where you can't go back because I don't know that person, but you think about all the things you wish you could have said. I love this talk because it addresses that topic and talks about what I could have said in that moment. I feel like the main focus of his talk is this quote that he said. He said, "Jesus doesn't make up the difference. Jesus makes all the difference. Grace is not about filling gaps. It is about filling us." A lot of times we might be on one or the other end of two extremes. We might either think that God has done everything and that we don't need to do anything, that He has already suffered for us and that's done and it's okay. We've already been saved. And while that is true, that He's already done what He needs to do and we've already been saved, there is a little bit more to it. The other extreme is I have to do up to a certain point and then God will do the rest. My favorite thing in the talk is when he related it to practicing piano. He said that when a mom pays for her child to take piano lessons, she has already paid the price for the lessons, and the child thanks the mom by practicing. Practicing doesn't pay for the lessons. It does not pay the mom back for the lessons. We're not giving her money when we practice, but it shows how grateful we are. And he didn't say this, but in my mind, it makes it so that her sacrifice means something. When Christ died for us, if we actually strive to live a life as he did, then it shows him how much his sacrifice means to us.
I had a similar experience to what you're describing, Nicole. I remember a time when I was in high school and I was randomly in a choir class. And I don't know why we were talking about this, but I was talking to my friend next to me about this thing. And I don't know exactly how the conversation went, but it kind of felt like she was telling me what our religion believes, that we believe that we work our way to heaven, kind of. And she was saying, you know, that all you need to do is believe in Christ. And my response was, well, faith without works is dead. And ever since then, I have just thought over and over how I wish that that wasn't what I said, because that's only part of it. And I just love how he says that we are not earning heaven, we're learning heaven. He just talks about all these ways that the purpose of trying to do good things is not to prove ourselves, but so that we will be comfortable in the presence of God and so that we can become more like him. And I just wish that I had understood that principle sooner so that I could tell her that we have a lot more in common than she thinks. And I think that's true of most Christians. Like, a lot of times people are trying to find the differences between them, but instead we can find how we're similar in our beliefs. And, you know, our religions see it differently. But I liked that he said that our purpose is that we're showing appreciation for what Christ did. And he posed the question. I also had an experience one time when I was working at a farmer's market where I was checking a lady out, and she just asked me if I was saved by grace. And what she meant was, have I been baptized? And I said that I had been baptized, but wouldn't it have been cool if I could respond and say, have you been changed by grace? And I don't know, only if that felt like an appropriate response, not anything critical. But I just love that that was his response. Like, we have to reframe our paradigm in our mind of what this means to us.
Exactly. I love that, Cammy. I love that part of the talk specifically, because the focus on being changed by grace, not just being saved by grace, and how the point of this life is to progress and become better so that we can personally improve. I do like that by coming into this life, this existence, this mortality, that our focus is to change and progress and grow and become better and better each day. And that from day one, we're not just saying, oh, I was saved, so I'm good. And then we just give up on everything, and that we don't change. We don't figure out who we are and then who we want to be. And I love that this supports a lot of what we teach in this podcast about helping those that listen to us learn new things so they can change in the ways that they want to change and improve in the ways that they feel they need improvement.
We'll be back after this quick break with a message from our sponsors. I loved in the talk a part where he was talking about this young man who had all kinds of addictions and really was struggling in his teenage years. And they all decided that he needed to go to this big conference. They call it EFY, where all of a bunch of teenagers get together and have like a week together where they're learning spiritual things and spending time with each other, doing dances and having fun, but also having spiritual experiences in the process. And after a day, he called and said, "Get me out of here," because he was so miserable being around people that were so different than him. I like that story that he shares because it helps me to know where my focus lies, to realize the purpose of trying to be the good person that I want to be. It's not to earn heaven. It's not to try to make myself appear better than other people or put myself above other people, but to seek to become like Jesus because I want to feel comfortable in his presence someday. And so if we think about living with God and Jesus Christ after this life and our families as well, we want to feel comfortable and happy and excited to be there. And if God is perfect and Jesus Christ is perfect, we want to be able to feel comfortable being around such amazing people, such amazing beings. And we may not feel that way if we've decided that we wanted to sin our whole life and never have like a direct purpose and never keep improving and changing and come to know our Savior Jesus Christ. And so to me, being saved by grace, it is a gift. It's something that we automatically get, but it also means that I have the opportunity to come into relationship with my Savior Jesus Christ. And that is something that we just can't get anywhere else. We can't have the experience of being with him and learning from him anywhere else.
I marked a few of his quotes that have to do with what we've been talking about. They're just little one-liners that I really love. He said, "A life impacted by grace eventually begins to look like Christ's life." He also said, "Scriptures make it clear that no unclean thing can dwell with God, but brothers and sisters, no unchanged thing will even want to." And then he said, "Heaven will not be heaven for those who have not chosen to be heavenly." I especially liked the one that he said, "A life impacted by grace eventually begins to look like Christ's life." I think that any Christian anywhere
or even of any other faith would agree that if you really have come to love God, you can't live your life any other way than trying to live the way that God would or God did, because you love him so much that you want to be like him. If you're Christian, you've seen in the Bible that perfect way that he lived his life, and you want to be more like that because you saw how much better off you can be when you live that way and how wonderful it can be to be so connected with the Father. That's something I love about the New Testament, that Jesus was so often talking to his Father in prayer. It would just be at random times, and he also would often go up in a mountain to be alone and to pray. And how wonderful that is, that he was able to live a life so close to the Father, to always know his will and always know that what he needed to be doing. It's just a better way to live. Not like I'm better, but I'm happier, you know?
Yeah, I love that throughout Christ's life, his actions were situational. He acted according to the circumstances, and he wasn't always one way in every single situation. He acted appropriate to what was going on so that he could bring truth to the situation and call people out when they needed to be called out, or clean the temple when the temple needed to be cleaned, or bring peace or heal someone's life or their body or whatever. He did different actions. He did different things. And I feel the need to say that there are so many times in our lives where we are judging ourselves for not feeling like we're good enough and thinking, well, I'm not even close to being like Christ, so I might as well just give up. But everyone's life circumstances are different, and everybody has different situations, and we need to give ourselves grace for imperfections. And also remember that everything happens for a reason and in the right timing. And as long as we are trying to be like Jesus, we are going in the right direction.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking as we were talking and as I was reading the talk that some people can read this and feel discouraged because it might seem like if I'm not living in this amazing way, am I not glorifying God? There's still a way that your brain can twist this into feeling discouraged about it, but this is supposed to be a message of hope. And how Nicole brought up the part where he said that no unclean thing can be with God, but no unchanged thing will want to. I think that just demonstrates how much this is a choice for us. And if we went through our entire lives and we didn't do anything, or we did all of the quote unquote wrong things, then we would still be saved by grace and we would still be resurrected and still have all of our sins paid for. But this is about whether or not we want to accept this gift that we've been given and use it to transform us into something new or something better. And I like how he says that repentance is a process and it's a pattern in our lives. So this is a habit that we're trying to create, and it takes time and it takes practice to learn those things and get good at coming back to Christ over and over again.
Yeah, I love that. I love how this life can be a line upon line, precept upon precept. You just change a little bit. You focus on one thing that seems of significance or importance at this time, and then you graduate on to the next thing. If you need to work on your family for a time, your family relationships, and then when those seem to be going well, then you need to focus on things at work. Like, we can put our focus on different things or emphasis on certain things for a time where they're needed. And then as those things become natural habits and improved, we can move on to the next thing. And I love how God doesn't put it all on us at once, that he doesn't just put this weight down on us to say, you've got to change it all and you've got to do it now. It's a gradual process. And our whole lives, we're going to be learning how to become better people, how to, you know, like, we're going to be great parents when we're grandparents, you know what I'm saying? And we don't have kids at home to parent anymore. I'm just saying. But anyway, I just love the idea that God is all-knowing and all-powerful, right? Everyone that believes in God believes that, I think. So if he advises us, this is the best way to do this. If you follow these 10 commandments, or if you follow the law in the way that Jesus established it, that's what brings the happiest life. Doesn't it make sense to strive for that, knowing that we're not going to make it, knowing that we're not going to be perfect or do it all right, and we're going to mess up, and we need that grace to help fill in that gap, it's still worth it to strive to do all of the things that God is asking us to do, just because he knows better than we do what will make us happy and what will bring us ultimate joy and salvation. To have perfect relationships someday, like in heaven, I don't know that our relationships will ever be perfect here on earth, but in heaven, we can have perfect relationships and we can continue to keep learning and growing in heaven, I believe. And so if that's what we want, our focus can be on what's the commandment that I'm struggling with the most right now, and how can I improve just a little bit? It's hard for me sometimes to think about getting better and better each day, because there are going to be like one step forward, two steps back type of times, or two steps forward, one step back, where you are moving in the right direction and you're pointed on the straight and narrow path. You're pointed towards God, but it's not always moving forward, and that's okay. But can you look at something in your life right now that needs improvement and work on that one thing today? And then when you feel like you've mastered that, then try something else. And then it's not overwhelming to just be like, I'm never going to be perfect, so I shouldn't even try. It gets so overwhelming to think about it that way. And I think especially, you know, he was talking about a teenage girl that came into his office in the talk and was just really struggling with this idea. So she didn't even want to try at all. And there are a lot of people that just step away from their faith completely because they don't feel like they can measure up. And we want everyone to feel included in the body of Christ, right? We want everyone to be able to come to church or to a devotional or however they want to worship and feel comfortable there and invited there because Christ loves them and disciples of Christ love them where they're at and invite them to change the things that they feel they need to change. Not push them, not pull them, but just love them and encourage them to make changes. And that's what we can do as disciples of Christ.
I love how he said, there should never be just two options, perfection or giving up. When learning the piano are the only options, performing at Carnegie Hall or quitting? No, growth and development take time. Learning takes time. And he also said that the important thing to remember is that Christ is going to be with us every step of the way and for as long as it takes, which is going to be a long time for everybody. We all have a mutual friend who one time was talking to me, and I would say that if I asked him, he would feel like a lot of his life hasn't been the way he thinks it should have been. And he was saying, I just always mess up and I always make the same mistakes over and over again. And I think that he thought that he was unique in that. And I was like, dude, literally every person who has ever lived except for Jesus can say the same thing and feels that way, right? Don't you guys all feel that way?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, we all have our things that we mess up on over and over again. And I think that, I mean, I don't know, I can't speak for men because I'm a woman, but I think specifically as women, we're really hard on ourselves and we can sometimes get into modes of self-wallowing when we start thinking about our weaknesses and our shortcomings, especially in motherhood, because the stakes are so high. But God is there with us every step of the way. It's not like he's waiting for the end of our life and then the atonement covers it and so we're fine. He is there with us, pulling for us and working with us and trying to help us change our hearts so that we can be more like him.
I like his analogy of practicing piano, because it's something that I can relate to. I know how to play the piano. I think we all, four of us sisters, have experience with playing the piano. We're not Carnegie Hall worthy, but we know what we're doing. We know the notes and the music and stuff. And as I think about my experience with the piano, I do better when I practice a little bit each day versus when I do this one really long, massive practice right before I go to my piano lesson. Because I am able to remember and improve in a gradual way and build upon that improvement the next day. And I definitely did not get as good at piano as I wanted to until I consciously made the decision to practice a little bit each day. Even though it took time, but it didn't feel like it took too much time because it was just for this small appointed time. And then I could go on to my next thing. It didn't feel like it was overwhelming, but the idea of, oh my gosh, I have to practice every single day. That idea sounds overwhelming, but when you think about it, okay, right now I'm going to practice for 15 minutes and I'm done. Okay, cool. Move on to the next thing. And I allow my brain to separate that into segments. It really helps me. And it also applies to anything that we want to focus on in this life to improve. Just one little bit at a time. Like Michelle said, line upon line, precept upon precept.
This part of the talk, talking about practicing the piano, especially made me happy because my older kids took piano lessons years ago. And I would encourage them to practice and I remind them to practice and keep practicing. And they would get so annoyed with me pushing them to practice. And I'm like, I am not going to pay for lessons if you're not practicing. It's not going to do any good. So you practice or we're quitting lessons. And they got upset with me, like, you pushed me too hard and you made me not want to do it anymore. And I realized that there is a part of me that needed to not be so hard on them. There was lessons on both my side and their side that we needed to learn. And I needed to not push too much. But on their side, I love in the talk how he said that the mom encourages her kids to practice because she has the wisdom and experience to know that that's the only way to progress. And so me looking back on my piano days and not practicing and then quitting piano and then regretting it and wishing that I had stuck with it, I wanted to instill that in my kids that they may feel that way someday. They will wish that they hadn't quit or that they had practiced when they had the time and they weren't a mom with tons of responsibilities or a busy teenager, but they have to learn that lesson themselves. It's not something that I can say, oh, well, I did this, so you need to learn from me. They had to learn that for themselves. I just love that idea of knowing that God has that wisdom to remind us to keep practicing. And didn't he say at the end of the talk, keep practicing or keep changing? I can't remember exactly how he phrased it, but I just love that how he was like, you can do this. Keep going. Keep practicing. And I'm one, like right now, I practice the piano about an hour a day because I don't want to regret that anymore. And I'm able to do that at this time in my life. I don't have a piano teacher. I'm doing it myself mostly and having a friend kind of give me tips, but it's something that I want to do and something that I feel like I can progress at. And we're not saying that everybody needs to be a piano player, but whatever it is that you want to do, keep practicing and keep going. And then when you have that wisdom, share it with others. Don't be afraid to share it with others. But, you know, there's also that give and take of possibly being too pushy or controlling with your kids, maybe. That you have to find that balance as well.
This is the quote, Michelle. He said, don't quit. Keep trying. Don't look for escapes and excuses. Look for the Lord and his perfect strength. Don't search for someone to blame. Search for someone to help you. Seek Christ.
I love that. It's not about blaming others, but just taking accountability and keep seeking for Christ. That's so beautiful.
I wanted to add that I like that what he's saying is a reminder that this isn't a list of rules that we need to follow and things that we need to do just for the sake of being obedient to someone who is telling us what to do. Brad Wilcox says that it's like paying toward a mortgage rather than paying rent. So it's going into our own savings account. This isn't only a favor that Christ did for us, but an investment that he made in us. So this is a way that we can not only live, but live abundantly and thrive in our lives.
Yeah. And isn't that beautiful that he believes that we're worth the investment? Even though we may not be able to see it in ourselves all the time, he sees us for who we really are. He knows our hearts and he knows that we're worth the investment and all of this time and energy put into it. I love that.
I love how he said, grace is not the absence of God's high expectations. Grace is the presence of God's power.
That is powerful.
Now that we've gone through all these things that we love about Brad Wilcox's talk, we're going to shift gears a little bit. And I was hoping that we could talk about times in our lives that we've seen the power of grace help us or transform us or heal us or anything like that. Did any of you have anything?
I have something. This might be something anyone that's married could relate to, but when I was a newlywed, I guess you could say, I thought that because I'm married and we both get to heaven together, you know, we're package deal, right? If I'm stepping ahead and he's not wanting to step ahead with me, like if there are certain things that I'm progressing on and he doesn't care to progress in that way, like, am I just leaving him behind or he's going to pull me behind and neither one of us makes it to heaven? I totally misunderstood the concept that it is a personal thing that you don't worry about where anyone else is in their process of salvation, only yourself. And you just work on improving yourself and then supporting and encouraging others around you. Obviously, I'm not talking about someone that is in like an abusive situation. You want to get out of that. But if you're in a loving relationship, you just love each other through your growth and be there to support them in whatever they're going through in their lives, right? So I read this book and I don't know if we've referenced it before, but it was like one of those life-changing experiences for me. It's called The Peace Giver by James Farrell, and it changed my entire perspective of my marriage and my relationship and what my duty is as opposed to my husband's and where we can come together. It was just so beautiful. And it was based on the premise of a feuding couple that were ready to just call it quits and get a divorce. And my husband and I were not at that point in our marriage, but we had, I think, normal struggles of learning how to live together and grow together. And this book helped me to realize how much it is about me needing to change me and only showing the love of the Savior to others, you know? Like, it's not my responsibility to try to change them or wallow in the fact that we have a lot of things not in common or whatever. I loved in the book, it talked about Abigail in the Bible, who is a representation of Christ. And she asks that the sin of her husband be taken upon herself, just like the Savior takes our sins upon him. And how in the story, they were able to look at Abigail like the Savior, taking the place of her husband, and they couldn't be mad at her because she didn't do anything wrong. And we can't be mad at the Savior because he didn't do anything wrong. And so if we imagine anyone in our path as the Savior standing in between us and that person, can we really be upset at the Savior who took their sins upon himself? And so anytime I'm in a conflict with my husband, it goes much better if I can remember the Savior has taken that upon himself and I can love him like I love the Savior as a perfect person because the Savior's taken that on. And that just really shifted. And as I shifted in who I was in our marriage, he felt comfortable and able to change in his own ways. And we've grown exponentially since that experience. And I didn't have to force anything upon him. I didn't have to try to change him in any way. I just loved him and accepted him for who he was. And then also let him know what makes me happy, you know, what kinds of things I'd like to see in the relationship in a suggestion kind of way, not in a either you do this or I'm out or I'm not going to love you or I won't talk to you or whatever. It was just one of those life-changing experiences that I needed to have where I came to a different level of understanding with what grace does for each of us specifically.
I love that, Michelle. I think that we have to use the power of grace so often in the relationships that are closest to us, meaning your relationship with your spouse and with your children, or your siblings, or whoever you live with or talk to all the time, those kind of things. And I'm not sure if this applies, but maybe it does. I feel so inadequate as a mom at times, more because I worry about what things I might do that could mess them up. I'm sure other parents can relate, right? Please tell me I'm not alone.
Yes.
Yeah. So you just worry about, like, do I tell them this thing because they need to hear it, or do I let them learn it on their own, or do I encourage them to talk to a friend about it? It's just things like that, that it's not like any one decision is inherently wrong, but whatever you choose could be wrong, could be the wrong decision and could lead in the wrong way. And that's really nerve-wracking as a parent. But the Lord helps me so much through the Holy Ghost to know what to do as a parent that I don't have to worry. And any time that I am worrying, it's when I'm forgetting how much he really is there and how much he's helping.
it gives me so much comfort to know that no matter what I do as a parent, especially when I'm trying my best, the Lord can make good things happen out of my efforts, my small efforts. This week, we have been studying the story of Joseph in the Bible, and the Lord was able to turn his brothers selling him into slavery into Joseph, saving them and a whole region of people in the world from a famine. It got me thinking that if the Lord can do that from this terrible thing that they did to sell their brother into slavery, then when I'm trying so hard in my parenting and doing it imperfectly all the time, then definitely he can make good things come from my efforts.
I just wanted to add to all of this that I have seen in my life that when I am constantly striving, which to me really means when I'm not willing to give up, and when I have that determination that with God, all things are possible, and that Christ's grace is all encompassing in my life, then I feel life much more abundantly, and I feel like a more capable person. And in turn, I can focus less on myself and spend more of my energy on others. But overall, my life just feels more hopeful and happy, and I'm grateful for that.
Thank you all so much for all of your thoughts. I really learned a lot. I know that sounds crazy because a lot of the things we talked about might be things that we already knew, and we all came tonight having already studied this talk, but I always learn so much from you guys, and I appreciate your insights and your testimonies. And we are so grateful for all of our listeners that listen to all of our episodes, and we love being able to share our thoughts with you. And we hope that if you ever have anything that you want to share with us, that you will email us and let us know, because we love hearing from you. Thank you all for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
If you like this podcast, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. If it resonates with you, the greatest compliment you could give is to share it with a friend who might benefit from it as well. Check out A Difference for One on Instagram for additional content. And if you have any questions, comments, a topic you'd like to hear about, or if you'd be interested in a free mini coaching session, send an email to adifferenceforone@gmail.com.